Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Woo! It's the weigh-in Wednesday, eh? We got people weighing in on the text line with your ghost stories, your spooky Roger Center narratives. Could be helpful
if you do believe. If you do believe in ghosts, or you have a ghost story, tell us your ghost story.
Yeah, I would love to read one and like be convinced or something.
Oh, you would be. You would so. You'd read one little ghost story and be like, "I knew they were real."
I totally believe this guy texting in that we can't talk to him. Really,
I'm just gonna believe him. Well, you already admitted that you get fooled by the Ghost Hunters show.
Obviously, I don't get fooled by the Ghost Hunters shows.
Don't say obviously.
I'm saying that sometimes, like the way that they cut the show is effective, where you're like, "Oh my god, that was spooky." But obviously, I don't leave being like, yeah, like there's never real evidence that there's ghosts.
You getting spooked is me, like temporary belief.
Something jumps out at you, and these guys have their cameras, and they're like, oh my god, I felt something. Like, yeah.
Imagine being those guys and having like season 13 of Ghost Hunters, and you go back into another house, and you're like, "All right,
here we go again.
We're gonna do the thing where we pretend to hear a thing, and then we run into the room, and we go, oh my god, this is so crazy in here. There's a weird energy in here.' Like season 13. Imagine being, you know, there's someone out there that's seen every episode of those shows, which is wild. Which is wild stuff. That is wild. If Caleb Joseph is one of those guys, we gotta end the interview before it even begins. Like Caleb Joseph is on the line. You don't watch the Ghost Hunters shows, right? Like, do you? Well, first of all, do you believe in ghosts? yeah, you watch the show.
He believes.
He's like, Ghost
no, but I'm not. Cool. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I can't watch those shows because, especially late at night, I will start sleepwalking and stuff.
What?
So I have to. Yeah, I got to keep it like really clean. Yeah.
So you can't watch scary movies. Like, what's the last scary movie you watched?
I can't watch them. I seriously can't. Like, I will do some crazy stuff in my sleep.
The last scary movie you watched was Kikuchi Start.
That's a great point. That's about right.
Yeah, that's that's wild. Like, so yeah, you'll get up, you'll do sleepwalking stuff if you see spooky movies. Okay, I love them. I think they're great. We've been asking people about like their ghost stories today because apparently Yandy Diaz, he's not going to stay at a hotel in Milwaukee, or he's not going to stay in a wing because he thinks it's haunted. Which
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, did you have a really superstitious teammate? Like, did you ever play with anybody where you went, okay, man, come on. Like, a lot of pro athletes are superstitious where you have routines, especially in baseball, right? Like, we've all seen major leagues where, I think that there's probably a lot of guys that have the outfit, the thing, like, you know, sports were used to this, right? Michael Jordan wearing his college shorts underneath his Bulls shorts, right? Like, guys have their quirks.
Oh, yes.
But did you ever have one teammate in particular, like, when I say superstitious, like, they come to mind because they had just wild routines and superstitions?
You're exactly right in that a ton of teammates had their own deal, their own thing. I think a lot of the people that when they get on that, they're kind of scared to fly. So I think of like Wade Miley that was scared to fly, and he would kind of be doing the same thing, like kind of a ritual in his seat. You know, he would have his hands on the top. He would do this like bouncing, bobbing thing. And it was like some sort of soothing like ritual as the plane was taking off and as it was landing. And stuff like that you kind of remember and you notice. So, yes, that hotel in Milwaukee, that's been going on. They also say that the hotel in Tampa where the team stays is, quote, haunted or whatever. So I've been both of those places multiple times, never had any issues. But it's amazing how some of these stories still continue to to filter down year after year. Oh, yeah, that hotel's haunted for sure. Don't stay there. Well, buddy, don't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, don't stay there. We've been trying to build ghost stories about Rogers Center because we don't want Yandy Diaz to play here. We want to make it so spooky that he's like, nah, I'm staying out of Toronto. I'm not coming up there for a playoff game. It's too haunted. It's too spooky up there. But the plane one for poor Wade Miley, like, man, what a tough profession to be just that terrified of flights where you have to be doing a bombing ritual every time. So, like, my dad was always scared of flying. He hated it. And my dad used to, like, and my dad was a big guy. He was, like, 6'4", and he was, like, a heavy dude. And he used to, like, grab the seat in front of him while we were, like, landing the flights. And I would think, what a nightmare for the people that are sitting in front of my dad.
Because
he would just be, like, gripping that seat, sweating, looking at him. I'd be laughing my ass off. And he would just be, like, gripping the seat in front. And I'd be thinking, God, this sucks. But my dad only flew like a couple times a year max, right? Like that's what we'd be doing.
Sure.
You're getting on a plane every 3 days, just sweating it out the whole day of it. It's like that's I feel bad for the guy. Like that's nightmare fuel is that you have to face your fear every single week. Every single week you gotta face your fear and you never get any better with it. Oh man, poor Wade Miley. That's gonna be funny for me forever.
Yeah, you're right. It was sad. You know, when you see it for the first couple times, it's kind of funny. You're like, oh, man, look at this guy. And then four or five trips into it, you feel bad for him. And you just want to go give the guy a hug. You know, you're like, dude, it's okay, man. It's all right.
Okay, so last night, we'll move off of ghost stories into rain delay stories. So we had an hour and 18 minutes of sitting around twiddling our thumbs. What did you used to do during rain delays? And do they suck as much for the players as it does for, I mean, the broadcasters trying to fill air, but also for the fans that are like, do we go to bed or what?
Yes. The whole thing just sucks. And I can't even begin to describe to you how many of those I had in Baltimore. They're just, it's like notorious for rain delays or delayed starts. They are a nightmare. I mean, like you just said, it's awful. And the first thing you do is you eat, you know. So usually you just run in there and start crushing food to kind of get refueled. But then you just sit down and it's like take your jersey top off and you sit down and you kind of look around like, okay, what am I going to do? And then usually everybody just gets on the phone, right? So for a while, everybody will just be ripping those fingers, texting and reading up on Twitter or whatever. And then before you know it, like you might have a game of ping pong breakout and then you might want to go in and look at some video or whatever. But it used to be, you know, when I guess I'm not going to say before phones, because obviously I didn't play before then, but like before the internet was so relevant in terms of like Twitter, you would have more guys playing pool and you'd have your little ping pong tournaments. But absolutely by far the first thing you're doing is going in there and getting something to eat, because believe it or not, major leaguers are hungry all the time, especially when they're playing. So when you have a chance to go in there and crush some food, that's the first thing you do.
I got to tell you, it doesn't sound like it sucks. Sounds like you're having a meal with the fellas and playing some ping pong tarps off. Sounds like the best time. Like, sounds literally like I'm planning a bachelor party a month from now. That's like literally the bachelor party plan.
Like you hope it rains.
Are we playing ping pong? Nobody's wearing tarps. We're just hanging out, having meals and, you know, shooting. Like that sounds awesome. That's literally the weekend that I'm always trying to plan. Yeah, last night's funny though, because it's weird when that happens, the rain delay, when you feel like you have some momentum in a game and it's going some way and then you lose. It almost feels like you got cheated in some way. Like, hey, we actually were ahead in this ball game. We were feeling good in this ball game. They come back and it feels like a entirely separate event. Jays lose that one last night. Man, we've been talking about this a lot, but it really feels like these Manoah starts are so important for the team that they take on an extra added feeling of loss right now because of the state of where the pitching is at just in general. The bullpen could not have really had a tougher start to the post-deadline period where that was the number one need to address. How do you think those guys are dealing with it in the clubhouse from a standpoint of they were really excited about a deadline? There were reports that they were a little upset with the lack of activity that the team had going into it and then kind of coming out where they went, all right, we added some bodies and there's some guys we need, but it wasn't exactly a splashy deadline. And then immediately those things are hurting you. Like, you obviously have to be super aware of it as a player. Nobody's more aware of it as a player, I would imagine.
Yes, you are. And not to mention, when you look around and you see what Seattle did, the big splash that Seattle made, what, just say pretty much any other team that was close to the Jays or is close to the Jays going out there making some pretty big and fancy moves, it is a little bit disheartening. And I remember being in Baltimore in 2014 and getting Andrew Miller, and it was the complete opposite of that. It was, holy smokes, this is unbelievable. This guy is going to push us over the edge. And it was like a shot in the arm. It was a jolt of energy. It really just, it's what you need at that point because, again, it's the dog days of August. I mean, it's a grueling part of the season. I always thought that this was the toughest part of the season, whereas moving into early September, you kind of start to really think more about playoffs and the prospect of playoffs is right ahead. And so, you have a little jolt of energy from that. But yes, when the club doesn't really go out and make these quote sexy moves that everybody's anticipating, there is a bit of a letdown. And for it to be affecting the club immediately right here, right after the break is a bit disheartening. I'll say this. It's just about, for me, it's about bullpen health. And I felt like anytime you can let a starting pitcher go and save an inning here and there for a bullpen guy, I think it is absolutely imperative this part of the season. And when Gausman went on Sunday and came out after six innings and 84 pitches and cruising, I thought that was a big mistake. And you have a chance for your big boy to go out again, save another inning for that bullpen. And maybe they don't use Garcia. And what we know is Yimi Garcia has pitched unbelievably well on 2 days or more rest, unbelievably well. And the numbers are way different on 1 day of rest. Well, he ends up going in on Sunday, right? And he gives up a run. Well, he didn't pitch yesterday, well, 2 days ago, but pitches yesterday, only 1 day rest. Because of the situation, the matchup, high leverage guy, and just it works out better that way, quote, for them, and gives up another run. So I think these things are all connected. And yes, it is a bit disheartening for that bullpen to sort of feel like it's exposed right now. But again, they did pretty well in Minnesota. So I don't know. It's pretty interesting to kind of to watch and keep a lookout for. But anytime you can let a starter go one more inning, I think it just pays massive dividends down the line. There's a trickle effect that comes after something like that when you aren't able to save an inning out of the bullpen.
We're speaking to Caleb Joseph, who is our insider. That's brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So speaking about going as long as you can, do you think that Manoa is maybe approaching the opposite of that with his highest ever innings pitched? And I think he's leading the AL in terms of that and sixth overall in MLB. Is that a concern for you with the last couple starts not being peak Manoa?
Yeah, we talked about it on Blue Jays Central via Jamie, and it's just getting into uncharted territory. And do I think he can handle it? Absolutely. Does he have the frame and the body work? Yes, he can do it. This guy's a massive, massive individual. He's just reaching uncharted territory. And a lot of people don't remember this guy was drafted and not too many years ago. I mean, he's been such a bright spot for the club. It's hard not to know or remember that he hasn't been in the big leagues for 5 years. He's pitched like a major league veteran, but he's reaching those limits. He's never thrown this many innings before. He's never made this many starts. And this is why experience in the big leagues is so vital and so important because you've gone through these battles, you've gone through these wars, and yes, maybe some of this kind of fatigue might be slowly starting to set in. I thought he had a little bit of a fatigue start, his second start back. The first one in Boston was excellent. The second one I thought looked like his legs were he had lost a little bit from his legs, but he quickly recovered and looked pretty good. But again, it's you look at this start and it just things just are a little soggy, and it's not classic Manoa that I guess everybody is so used to. But again, let's be patient as well. I mean, this guy's been absolutely fantastic, and he is human, believe it or not. So let's be really patient. And this is why it's important for a guy like Kikuchi and White to step up and do some really big things and give that club an option once there's some days off to build in to see if they can give possibly Manoa a day off. But it's hard to want to give Manoa a day off when a Kikuchi before him is not meeting expectations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Again, we're talking to Caleb Joseph. Speaking of like expectations and guys being human and a little bit of regression, I'm with you. I'm not overly concerned about Manoa, but yeah, the more he struggles in uncharted waters, then yeah, you're going to naturally think about this stuff. The two catchers on this team, like they started the season, Danny Jansen, there was a lot of talk, like we'd had him on, we had talked to him about, you know, turning himself into more of a pull hitter and what that was doing for his bat. And yeah, you looked at, you know, March and May, and the guy was raking. He hits the, you know, he gets the injury, and it's been a kind of a tough season in terms of the timing of that. But yeah, the OPS, it's, you know, it's been, it's not a ton of sample, but it's like the second half of the season, it's under 600 right now. Like he's really struggling at the dish. Alejandro Kirk, it's not as severe. It's just tough because the guy was basically their MVP for the entire month of June, and since then, it's been more like. Good, not great, right? Really good for a catcher, sure. But not great for a guy that has been sort of in the middle of the lineup. I guess like it's a two-part question because it's about two guys, but it's just the same position. Is what are you seeing with those two guys at the plate right now and why they're, by their standards, struggling?
Cool. That's a good question because I remember talking to them a while back, and they were wanting to combine – hit 40 home runs. And there was a time where it looked like they were going to get close to that, right? Where it seemed like every other homestand, one of them was hitting one out of the ballpark. And then like you alluded to, Danny gets hurt. Catching is such a unique position in that you're focusing so much on the pitching staff and the pitchers. And remember, they just got three new pitchers, right? Outside of Bass, they obviously know Bass from 2020 season, but there is that a continual learning curve and just the stresses of kind of what the bullpen's been going through. You look at Barrios, who has kind of been up and down. Kikuchi's been an absolute eight ball, like shake it up and you have no idea what you're going to get. That kind of starts to weigh on catchers, especially catchers that really, really, really work at that relational aspect and know that that is so important to their game, which is what both Danny and Alejandro, they do that. They believe that that is one of the main focuses. And so it just naturally will take away a lot of time. It will kind of divert your mind a little bit. And before you know it, you're doing your work. It's not like you stop hitting in the cage or stop working. You're doing your work, but a lot of the main concentration and the main focus can start going towards trying to help Kikuchi figure it out or see, you know, sitting down with Pete Walker and talking about getting Barrios to figure it out on the road. His road splits are pretty unbelievable right now. And maybe then it's working with Simber. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, as it goes on, and especially later in the season, pitching becomes so important that it's hard not to get immersed into that. And a lot of the conversation is about the pitching and starting pitching and those back in the bullpen guys. And it's just really easy to get caught up into that. And you obviously care about your offense. But at the end of the day, I would rather them figure out that pitching staff. That's just me, me personally, because I feel like they have enough offense to sustain a defensive guy back there. Now, I mean, you look at Kirk, he had 3 hits last night. I think he's fine. It's not necessarily anything outside of just being a little bit exposed for me with Kirk in the 3-hole. That 3-hole is just a very demanding position for anybody. So, and Danny's fine. It's just sometimes you lose rhythm, and he looked like he was in a great rhythm, and then he gets hurt. And I just feel terrible for him because it's 2 injuries in a row where he was absolutely on fire and gets kind of shut down due to injury. And things can happen. And remember, it's that hand. And, I mean, you use the hand to swing the bat. So you just never know if something feels a little bit different or feels a little bit off. But their defense has been pretty good, and that's what I'm most concerned with at this point in the season.
Well, Caleb, I know you're watching.
For granted, at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know you're watching a lot of Jays before bed, so hopefully it's not a lot of scary movies. You can get your rest. Appreciate you coming on this morning. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, you got it. Thank you.
That was Caleb Joseph, former Blue Jays catcher, current Sportsnet analyst, and our insider that's been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. We're going to take a break because it's time to celebrate the Wake and Rake baby hitting last night. All 3 of us cashing in. Bianca coming in clutch. I don't even know what you guys bet because I don't care because I'm off my losing streak.
So
and the
so
vibes
rude.
Have turned around. Let's keep it going. That's next. It's Awake and Rake presented by Unibet.
Sports. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
We're back. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sports at 5-9 of the Fan. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Can't get Ailish on the Zoom.
Yeah, like, invite me to the Zoom. I'm sitting here waiting.
No, and you're not. We've invited you a million times. No, don't say you're sitting there waiting. Your status went from not online. No, your status went from not online to online. You were out doing some things. You and Austin. You smoking darts with Austin?
Yeah, I just hacked a few darts.
Yeah. that's what I thought.
Yummy.
Ripping a few darts. It's fine. Good morning. Good morning. It is the Wake and Rake. We won yesterday. That feels good. No, that's great. We won. We won the Wake
winner,
and Rake.
Winner, winner, like chicken dinner.
What was it? Like a plus 450 parlay?
That's right.
That's what we ended up with yesterday. That sucker hits. Everything perfect. I'm so glad that I teased that half run so that it didn't end up being a push because it was 8 runs. So yeah, remember, sometimes don't play for the push. Don't be a coward. Go one way or the other. Everything hits. Bianca hits. Blake's bet hits. Everybody's feeling good. Vibes are high. Some best bets to get into. Before we talk about the Jays, Blake Murphy. It has been revealed that Yandy Diaz will not stay at a hotel in Milwaukee because it's too spooky for him. So we've been spending today trying to create ghost stories for the Rogers Center so Yandy Diaz doesn't come here and among other superstitious baseball players. Do you have a ghost story? Have you, because like you're
he's
somebody
definitely
who's traveled,
someone that believes in like
the spirits,
and also
spirit
like the other side and astrology and mediums, tarot cards.
Yeah. He's got tattoos. We all know, all right? He's got tattoos. It's
so
not
don't
good
even
behavior.
Try to hide that from us.
It's not good behavior, and it's very clear indicator that he believes in the other side. He clearly believes in astrology, but do you have a ghost story?
Okay, not only you guys missed the biggest part of why I'm obviously a believer in this stuff. My family is from Belle Island, Newfoundland, which is, and quote, the most haunted place in North America.
What?
Also known as Canada's X-Files Isle.
Oh, yeah.
There is a commemorative stamp of a bog fairy chasing a miner on Belle Island that you could have
what's
got in Canada
fairy?
For a little
what is
while.
A bog fairy?
What do you mean, what's a bog fairy? It's a bog fairy.
What do you mean?
It's a little lady that comes out of that lures you into the bog. So the story goes, and I don't know that I'm
gonna die. It's a little lady that lures you into the bog is like this. Okay, hit us, bog fairy.
Yes, I might be remembering this a little.
My head hurts.
Wrong, but I'm trying my best. So,
yeah.
Back before World War II, there were a lot of, or around the time of World War II, sometime in the 40s, there were a bunch of German U-boats that got sunk near Belle Island. The superstition goes that some of those army people, when they were on Belle Island, there was a woman who died in the bog.
Yeah.
And now the way it works is if you are there, you will see a very attractive woman calling out for help.
And then, as
you get closer, it turns into like an old hag, and you see that it's like it's not an attractive woman. It's an old lady who's been in the bog for hundreds of years, and she drags you under, and no one can hear you.
Oh my gosh.
What?
That's spooky as hell. Okay.
And also, the marsh is home to fairies, like Tinkerbell fairies, but scary.
Yeah. Okay. So I Googled bog fairy and nothing came up. It was like, okay. So this is only you guys? Like, you guys
Google Belle Island bog fairy.
Yeah, I did. And or, Belle Island has tons of stuff.
The Hag of Belle Island.
Yeah. And it's the fairies of Belle Island. Like, they're all, like, they're here, all right? Who is the Hag of Belle Island? That's what you're talking about. She's the Hag of Belle Island. And the description here is, these fairies aren't the cute kind. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And yeah, Belle Island, Canada's X-File out. Everything you're saying is true. That's on canadashistory.ca, by the way. Yeah. Belle Island, Canada's
history. So
yeah,
of course I believe in this stuff. This is the island my family, like, this is where my dad was born and raised and where my dad currently lives.
Can we get him on the line?
Yeah,
If I go back to visit, this is what I got to look out for.
Bog fairies. God, yeah. Like, listen, I can't believe you don't have a bog fairy tattoo. Like, that's a cool tattoo. Get a bog 100%. Fairy tattoo.
100%.
I got I got a little space left.
Let's go.
We got to get a bog fairy tattoo on there. On that.
I've already got a couple Belle Island ones. I've got a pup and I've got Belle the Belle Island moose.
We'll get the Belle Island bog fairy.
Like, Belle the Belle Island moose. So this moose just swam over to Belle Island at one point and just like lived on the island, like hung out with the cows and stuff like that.
He was dating the bog fairy.
No, they tried to get a lady moose for him and like flew her over in a helicopter with the little thing, and she passed away because of the stress of the trip.
This isn't a real place.
So, yeah, Belle, the emo, lonely Belle Island moose is a tattoo that I have.
Oh my God.
And a puffin. Which is obviously very
that's
as well.
Crazy news to wake up to. I had no idea.
I don't know. What about, we got this spot right here.
Bog fairy.
Bog fairy spot. Right there. Maybe
bog
right
fairy.
Here.
Bog fairy. 100% the bog fairy.
Okay,
right.
How about this? If we hit the wake and rake today, you get a bog fairy tattoo.
I already have one tattoo that was like, if this long shot thing happens, it's like, yeah, sure. If the Raptors win the championship, I'll get this tattoo. And then guess what happened?
So you
what tattoo did you get for Raptors?
The moose.
The little moose. The ones that I used to draw in my notebook.
Oh, yeah, for Greg Monroe?
Yeah.
That was good. That was a good bit. Blake,
my commemorative championship tattoo is a little moose head.
Okay, so get one for the wake and rake hitting.
Well,
it's not hard.
I don't want a tattoo reminding me of you two.
Yeah.
It's
Greg Monroe's
one thing. The bog fairy, not us.
Yeah, Greg Monroe is one thing. Blake, my God. You just reminded me of my ghost story is seeing Blake's writing. Like, it's the writing of ghosts where it's like all his shorthand. That's what I would imagine my horror movie would be, is opening a book with that shorthand in it and trying to decipher those
ghosts. It's already a movie. It's called Zodiac. It stars Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a good movie. It's a good movie. I like that movie. So it is the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds.
Oh, my God.
Hit yesterday. The Blue Jays getting hit yesterday. By the way, I wanted we used to do Blake Does Our Homework, and I'd like this for my next piece of homework done by you, Blake, is Yimi Garcia in high leverage this season, opponents at OPS, 646, which you think on the surface is like, oh yeah, that's fine, like that's... you'll take a 646 OPS. It's a terrible hitter, right? That's worse than what Whit Merrifield has been this year. But I do wonder what that equates to for a back-end guy when it comes to high-leverage spots. I was a little curious as to whether that was, because that's been sort of the thing about Jimmy is that – or Jimmy is that it's been sort of up and down this year. You've had some moments. By the way, Adam Simber, who you and I have been cautious of now for a while, in the second half of the season, if we're using that split, which is, again, not a huge sample, but his last 14 days – 26 plate appearances, opponent's OPS almost 900. Bullpen is not in a very good state of affairs. They used some guys yesterday. How is this impacting your guys' betting at all? Because it is a little bit for me. Because yesterday I bet on the Jays. I was very confident about them. I mentioned it in the Wake and Rake that it was a double play. That it was a team play for me. Manoah was a little shaky to start. The game levels off. The Jays are up by 2 runs. And then the bullpen happens. And I got to admit, like, it's harder for me to place bets and confidence on this team right now, knowing that, it could get really shaky in those final 4 innings of the ballgame, those final 3 innings of the ballgame.
So I'm with you in that it doesn't feel great in those situations. Mm-hmm. Statistically, bullpen's actually been pretty good in late innings the last little while. It's one last of those month. Weird things where, like, it does feel like this team sucks in innings 7, 8, 9, but the last month or so, their problems have been they get behind early and can't catch up. Yep. Like, that has been when Berríos is on the mound, Kikuchi's on the mound, the bats don't come around until later. In terms of the Jimmy García element, he's thrown 11 and two-thirds high-leverage innings this year. I don't have OPS handy, but I have weighted on base average, which is, you know, it's accounting for a handful of things. He's at 288 there. That's pretty good. League-wide in high leverage, give me one sec, is 308. So he's a couple points below league average in high leverage spots. Or I guess for the favorable framing is he's above league average. He's better than league average in those high leverage spots. But we're talking a 12-inning sample where, you know, it's going to feel differently, of course.
Yep. Yeah,
and
by the
league
way,
average
last...
OPS is 716 in those situations.
I do know that in the last month leading into yesterday, this is probably like slightly changed. Maybe they've dropped a spot or two, but heading into yesterday, over the last month, I think the Jays were third best on base percentage of any bullpen in baseball, which again is interesting given that this is clearly a need for this team. It's two things can be true. The bullpen was performing quite well, but a lot of us were looking at this saying this is likely to regress in a negative way and that they do not have the arms that come playoff time you're going to want. Also, the Jays had been feasting a little bit on some inferior opponents. There had been less leverage. Like, there's a lot of things that go into these stats is all I'm saying is that I don't think that that's a good indicator of, oh, the Blue Jays bullpen is actually great. We're all stupid. It's more of an indicator of, hey, situationally, the Jays bullpen had a good month. It's probably going to be their best month.
Yeah, and also, like, random stuff is going to happen over the course of a month, right? Like, like the Jays had the third best – have the third best bullpen ERA over the last 30 days, but they're also 20th in swinging strike rate. They're right near the bottom in ground ball rate. So you look at the kind of things that – okay, well, what indicators would you look at that a bullpen might have worse days ahead? Well, they're giving up a ton of fly balls, and they're not striking – they're still not missing enough bats. It's the same – two issues that we've talked about all year. So you can have a good month. It's like I made this point last night when people were melting down about the Jays' inability to win close games. Like when the Jays were at their worst this year, they were winning a bunch of close games. They had that monster record in one-run games. Weird stuff happens over small stretches in baseball. I don't think you should be negative about the Jays' offense, but I also don't think you should be positive about the Jays' bullpen based on that last month because the bullpen is they're guys who we know what they are. And it's not an elite bullpen. Like, Anthony Bass is probably going to end up their best reliever at this point, I think.
Yeah. I think that it's funny with some of these recent struggles, right, since the deadline, where I think that they're 3-5. To me, I think the offense at times gets a little bit too much leeway when they struggle because people look at the overall stats and go, well, look, they're still top five offense in baseball, which is true. But I think all of us who have watched this team over the last two seasons realize that it's a good offense, but it's flawed. And like everybody has flaws. Every team has flaws. Most offensive have flaws. But that they can be a little one-dimensional. They can have a lot of really bad at-bats with some really good players who, you know, should probably give you a little bit more in some of these games. And, hey, it's been an issue this year. Whereas the bullpen has been kind of the opposite where, you know, they've performed pretty well for large stretches. A lot of these guys have been okay. And a lot of us that were advocating for more help were thinking, hey, this is a team that needs these arms come bullpen come playoff time. Swing and miss is going to have an added value as you get down the stretch here. And while it hasn't been as bad as I think that some of us have made it out to seem, and that's big time confirmation bias thing, that overall it's kind of like both these things, one of these things probably deserves a little bit more blame for some of the struggles, and I actually do think that it's the offense, even though, again, on paper, it's been awesome. Anyway, tonight, the Jays are, I think, minus 159 last I looked at it on Unibet. Let me just pull it up here. Yeah, minus 159 on the money line to beat the Orioles. It's Berríos. It's a ZRA of over 5. We just talked to Caleb Joseph. He brought it up. Berríos on the road this year versus Berríos at home. Two very, very different guys. How are you guys feeling about this ball game tonight, and how much is that impacting your line of thinking?
I think that Tonight is must win for the Blue Jays, which we joked about it. It's an August game, but I completely think that this needs to be a win. So that's tough to bet on, though, because as you said, his splits have been interesting. I think people are really putting him in the same conversation as Kikuchi in terms of having a struggle season. I don't go as far.
On the road, he is.
Yeah, I don't go as far.
On the road, you want to know what his stats are?
Yeah, go ahead.
On the road this season, in 11 games, his ERA, do you want to guess?
Over 8.
No, right. Close, though. It's 7.5.
Oh, okay.
7.5. That's 54 innings of work. His whip is worse than what Kikuchi's is, which is, like, outrageous. Remember yesterday when I was, like, bringing up those stats about how those last 10 Kikuchi starts are as bad as it gets and how the whip is 1.5? That's his whip right now. His strikeout, his K per 9, 6.2.
So
he's awful. He's been terrible on the road. It's actually incredible. He's given up tons of home runs, 15 home runs in those 11 games over 54 innings. Like, 45 earned runs. It's really, really tough sledding for this guy on the road this year. And I'll be honest, I'm hoping for him, but to me this is a stay away just because of who he's shown us to be over that sample.
So yeah, what I'm feeling as well is half of me thinks the Jays really need to rally, really need to get the bats hot. They need to help support Berríos, who has that terrible road record at this point. But I don't feel confident enough to bet that. Maybe I would bet the over, if anything, which is a flat 9, but if you tease it down 8.5, minus 139. I mean, the over has been pretty consistent as of late, and if Berríos has those numbers, that's a possible bet for me. But I don't feel confident about a money line bet. I don't feel confident about player props other than when I bet Bo the other day. He didn't do it, and then last night he does do it. So if I don't bet him, maybe he's hot. It's kind of a stay away for me personally.
Is that enough of a sample for you, Blake? Like, again, we talked about it. Weird stuff can happen in a baseball season, and ultimately it is 11 games. But, yeah, it's, what, 54 innings? I think that if we were starting the season, it was the only thing. But, yeah, 64 at home, 54 on the road. The numbers being what they are, like 3.23 ERA at home, where he's 6-0, 2-4 on the road with an ERA of 7.5. Like, what do you make of that sample?
It's hard because it would be one thing if Rogers Center was a really pitcher-friendly park. That would be a huge red flag, right? But we've seen him get lit up at Rogers Center, and Rogers Center is not a pitcher-friendly park. There's not a good explanation for why that would be the case.
There's ghosts on the road.
And historically, that isn't something that's plagued him. So I don't know. I think it's really just there's probably some element of it's just shaken out that way. The big issue is he's been so inconsistent. It's like, I mentioned a stat on my show yesterday of, like, I think 16 of his 22 starts, he's had like an average starter better by game score. It's just, he's so blow up prone. And then when you in those, you know, say that means 6 of his 22 starts have been absolute blow ups. Whereas I talked to Ricky Romero about it. What would you prefer? Like 4 good starts and then a blow up? like Barrios keeps having, or Kikuchi, where every start is just kind of ugh, and you end up with the same ERA. And his take was Barrios is an easier one to fix because you have the more recent sample of being good. Anyway, all that to say, I would need a compelling reason why he's struggling on the road when Rogers Center is in a friendly place and he hasn't struggled on the road historically.
Yeah, you would think that he's just, for whatever reason, been uncomfortable. And like that's the only thing you can come up with is he's not able to get into the same routine on the road. Maybe he's not sleeping the same way when he's on the road. Who knows? But yeah, the ghosts, whatever. Yeah, Milwaukee ghosts, like permeating through to different cities. But yeah, it is an odd one. And it's hard for me to look at it and say, when you don't have a reason for it, it's harder to use that as real like intel for betting. But I just, at this point, to me, it is enough where I go, it's at least something. And I think that so much of sports, obviously, is like everything we do, just mental. I got to imagine that for him, he's aware of it, and that you want someone to be locked in and just focused on what they're doing. And I feel like when it's been this bad for Barrios this season, that once things start to unravel a little bit, there's always the, oh, here we go again factor, where are you able to lock in the same way? Are you able to maintain your focus the same way? And I just don't trust that right now. So, yeah, I'm not fading this in terms of picking the Orioles. I'm not even going to play the over in this one, even though, I think that the number teasing it down is actually pretty attractive. I'm just going to let it ride, hope that the guy pitches well tonight, and hope that the Blue Jays get a win, because I'm with Ailish. Like, they desperately need this one. This is going to be a very, very different feel in the middle of August if all of a sudden the Jays drop three straight to a Baltimore team that has been dubbed by some as, like, not real or whatever, or, like, illegit, whatever you want to put it as. Like, they're supposed to be better than this team. This would be bad to lose three straight. Best bets tonight.
Ailish, okay, National Bank Open, though, tonight as well. Layla's a daytime game. She's minus 159 on the money line. Feel confident about her getting off to a good start. She hasn't had to really test herself other than the last game. But I think, like, she's after the game, she said, I'm feeling great. My body feels great. And that was the biggest consideration because she's coming back from injury. So home court girl, you know, I like that. Also, Felix is getting his start today in Montreal. That's a evening game. So he's minus 295 on the money line. So he's obviously a big favorite there, hometown guy that's headlining that tournament. But I'm not going to go to either of those bets. I'm going back to MLB, and I will be choosing the under in the Yankees-Mariners game. We got Nestor Cortè and Robbie Ray on the bump. Feels like an under to me, under 7.5. It's moved since I previously opened it. It was like a minus 113, but people are betting it now, so it's minus 130. But I'm still going to go for it. It's actually a flat 7, I believe.
Plus 100, it's though, moved so tease it up a lot. To 7.5.
Yeah, I'm going to tease it up to 7.5 because I don't like the push. So that's going to be my best bet. Two great pitchers. Last night was a 1-0 game between those guys, too. It was a snooze fest, so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know about snooze fest.
Well, in terms of people that like runs, yes, it's a snooze fest, okay?
I was going to say, that was a pretty intense game between two playoff teams. That was
in terms of betting the over or the under, you were pretty confident that it was going to be an under at that point. Anyway.
Oh, if you had lost your under bet in a game that was 0-0 into the 13th inning,
then that's a rare occurrence.
Jay's now only a game up on the Mariners, a game and a half up on just like holding on to a wild card spot. It's very... I mentioned this going into the deadline. They were in a cushy spot. It was like they were three games up on a wild card spot. They were a couple games up on the Mariners. You felt like everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. All of a sudden, my scoreboard watching after these last two losses has increased a lot. Let's just say my JD's scoreboard watching, him having the Sportsnet main page open and on the MLB standings page is now, we have a standings page. Okay, it's open 24 hours a day.
It's your home.
On my
it's your
laptop.
Like home screen it, or your
yeah. It's
homepage.
It's there. It's around. I'm going with this. This is like there's really not a ton of logic to this bet other than I'm going or sorry I guess it's like a data. I'm just going with the White Sox today. They're playing Kansas City. Kansas City does not have a very great track record against like today's pitcher. Johnny Cueto. It's Chris Bubich. He's just like, he's kind of just a guy I've been betting against all season long because he stinks. He's 2-6. yeah, White Sox have been better against lefties. And, like, you look at their numbers, like, the offense is fine. And honestly, a lot of this bet for me right now is, okay, Chicago's bullpen has been great the last month. Been really holding teams down, doing a decent job. Cueto has had a solid season, and they lost yesterday to the Royals. I don't see them dropping too straight. I think the line, last I saw it was like minus 135. What was it known? It's somewhere in that range. Yeah, minus 137 right now. I just like the White Sox to win. I don't think that they're going to drop too straight to a crappy Royals team. Bullpen's been good. Offense has been good. Cueto's on the mound. Bubich is the opponent. I just think it's a pretty friendly line for a favorite that I think should be a little bit more. So I like the value there. I'm going with the White Sox.
Similar play here. I'm going with the Cardinals. They got absolutely stomped by the Rockies last night in Coors. It's a lefty on the mound for the Rockies tonight, and we know the Cardinals just hammer lefties. Poor Kyle Freeland's in for a tough one at Coors. It's minus 167. It's not the spiciest of returns, but on a not great night for value with a lot of middling pitching matchups, Cardinals to bounce back against a lefty at Coors.
So that's a plus 390 parlay.
Is this Quintana's second start for the Cards?
Mm-hmm.
I would assume it is. Okay, how did his first one go? Do we know?
That's a good question.
No, I'm always curious about how guys, when they get traded, this is always a theory of mine.
One earned over six.
That's great. So there you go. This guy already feels comfortable as a Cardinal. He already feels like he fits in. I just always have a theory after deadlines that you go to a market that matters, like St. Louis, and you stink, and it can be harder to overcome that first thing. Like that, I'm always cautious of betting those guys. I want to see it first, but that doesn't fit the category. So I'm all in on that. That's your Wake and Rake for today, Wednesday, August 10th. That was the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow on Twitter and Instagram. Reach out anytime. I didn't see any winning bet slips, so maybe some people are, you know, not believing in the Wake and Rake. There's been a little faith loss.
I got one.
Okay, well, I'd like them sent my way as well. You can always send them at JD Bunkus. Leave a review, do all those things. We'll catch you tomorrow.